Remember Zacchaeus, the short fellow? Poor guy. He couldn't see Jesus. He's too small. And he wasn't a baby. His mother could pick him up. So, remember, he climbed into a tree to be out of the way where Christ was passing. And Jesus looks up. Zacchaeus. Remember? Did he say? Come down. Poor Zacchaeus. And then, what did Jesus do? Did he invite himself? Yeah. He invited himself. And of course, then Zacchaeus, he gave a speech, remember? When he cheated people, he repaid them. In other words, Lord, I'm not as bad as people think I am. Well, that's what it is. This is dramatically illustrated, as we've just said, in the gospel narrative about Zacchaeus. And you won't believe it. I didn't realize it. I've got everything right in front of me here. The whole gospel. My gosh. Luke chapter 19, first 10 verses. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a leading publican, and he was rich. He was trying to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not on account of the crowd, because he was of small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, as Jesus was passing by. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Don't just walk down, jump down. For I must stay in your house today. So he made haste and came down and welcomed him joyfully. Upon seeing it, everyone began to complain, saying, he is going to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, and he is, 5'1". Behold, Lord, I give one half of my possessions to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I return it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And it's the same identical. You change that adjective, identical. You're no longer a Catholic. Same identical Jesus that visited Zacchaeus, rose from the dead, he's now at the right hand of his heavenly Father. No wonder this gospel is read on the anniversary of the dedication of a Catholic church. In every Catholic church, Christ is present in the fullness of his incarnate divinity. This is what makes a Catholic church or chapel holy. In Christ's words to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Christ's presence in church or chapel is magnetic. It draws human hearts to the Savior. It calls them in the silence of Christ's voice to come to him. As he once said, come to me, all you are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. And I've said this publicly before, for me, the happiest time of my life is the time I spent before the Blessed Sacrament. And I mean every syllable. Which, by the way, is the main reason we're having these conferences here in Detroit. As I know they're being here before the Blessed Sacrament. Some questions. If any more, you might pass the box around. Is it permissible to offer our sorrow for sin or for our past sins, even though we have confessed them and believe they have been forgiven? Not quite sure the words. So I have been told, I guess, when God forgives, He forgets. Is that good theology? I know and believe this, but I still suffer my sorrow. Oh yes. However, one reason that we can go back over and over again telling our Lord we're sorry for the sins we've committed is not only that we might be forgiven, but that our sincere sorrow may be a source of grace for other sinners. Can one be removed from life support if there is any chance of survival? Does the dying person have to be fed? Yes. Yes. And now in our society, which is such a homicidal society, not many still believe this. Can a Catholic marry in a Protestant church? Is the marriage valid? Is the marriage sacramental? The Catholic is marrying a Protestant who is baptized. Can the Catholic receive all of the sacraments? Yes, it's a concession that the church makes to avoid greater evils. A Catholic can be validly married. They receive a sacramental marriage, provided the other person has been baptized, even though it's in a Protestant church. Yes. Let me tell you, it is not. I could use a stronger negative. It is not recommended. Sam is baptized, Methodist. Then is baptized Catholic. Then married in the Catholic Church. He had one child. Then divorced after 11 years of marriage. Sam then means Lita, who is baptized Catholic. They marry by a justice of the peace and have two children. This is Lita's first marriage. Sam's second. She is raising the children Catholic. Is she living in sin? Can she receive communion? Well, it all depends on whether that first marriage was valid or not. In other words, if the marriage was valid, then, and presumably both were then baptized, it was a sacramental marriage. So, unless an official declaration of there not having been a marriage in the first place and given by the church, then Lita should look into If not, what does she have to do? There was no annulment of the first marriage. You know, that term annulment of the first marriage is not good theology. If the first marriage was declared null and void, then Lita could go to the sacraments. Otherwise, the answer is no. What sin, in your opinion, is the greatest and most hurtful to Christ and to ourselves? Really? As Christ himself says, the worst sin is a sin of unrepentance. In other words, distrusting, even doubting, and worse still, denying that one's sins have been forgiven, provided I am sorry, to despair and, well, to despair is one, or finally impenitence. Now the very worst is final impenitence. A person having sinned then sins by refusing to repent. Objectively, that's the worst. Subjectively, the worst sin is despair, distrusting in God's mercy. Which would be better? Stay for a second Mass with my two little boys, or go home after the first Mass to begin homeschooling the boys and fulfilling my duties around my home? The moment you put the word duties in, you answer your own question. All I know is my widowed mother took me, oh gosh, the Masses she took me to, I think I told you that, all night adoration that I spent in Cary, Ohio, fast asleep. And sometimes when I'm dead tired, I do fall asleep in chapel. I tell the Lord when I wake up, Lord, you've seen this before. But I think being at Mass, provided, of course, duties are not neglected, that's homeschooling too. When we attend a second Mass at a particular church in the suburbs, the priest refuses to give Holy Communion to you if he knows this is your second Mass. He says only he has a right to receive twice. Oh, pray for a priest. Pray for a priest. Pray for a priest. Lord, help them. Lord, enlighten them. If a Catholic girl marries a Protestant in his church, should she have the baby baptized in the Catholic church? Or does she have to be restored to the Roman Catholic Church first? No. She could marry, as we said before, she could marry this Protestant in his church and even with the dispensation and would be a valid marriage and both receive the sacrament. Now, if for whatever reason she, say, does not want to bring up the children Catholic, so should she have the baby baptized in the Catholic Church? Does she have to be restored to the Roman Catholic Church first? Well, one of the conditions for a valid mixed marriage, otherwise the mixed marriage is not valid. One of the conditions for the valid mixed marriage is that the Catholic intends to raise the children Catholic and, of course, has enough assurance as a non-Catholic partner. You're not keep the Catholic from, well, both baptizing the children, having them baptized, and having them raised as Catholic. So I would say the question then is that marriage valid? And so to be restored to the Catholic Church, that's on her part. Well, her first question she's got to answer is, am I going to live with this man? And if whatever religion he has, would he interfere or prevent her from having the children baptized and raised as Catholics? And if she would give in to him, she foresees it, she would not be really able to do so. Then, to use the question's words, she could not be restored or reconciled with the Catholic Church. So, what you should do is ask yourself, first of all, whether the marriage, presumably the first marriage, was made without a dispensation. In the Protestant Church, it can be done, as I said before. But then, can she feel free to both have the children baptized as Catholics and raised as Catholics? If she can, no. Then have the marriage rectified and raise the children Catholic. What happens to the soul of a person who commits mortal sin? Does the person lose faith, hope, and love? All three. No. Sanctifying grace. That's two principal things for the soul. It gives supernatural life, and it gives supernatural powers, otherwise known as virtues. That's what the Latin word for power is, virtus, in the soul. If it's in something material, it's called potentia. If it's in a soul, it's called virtus. Virtus means power. There are three powers. One for the mind, and two for the will. The power which sanctifying grace gives for the mind is faith. The two powers sanctifying grace gives to the will are hope and charity. Now, every mortal sin always, never fails, every mortal sin always deprives the person of the supernatural power or virtue of charity. In fact, that's really a definition of mortal sin, the loss of the supernatural virtue of charity. However, a person can sin not only, for example, by adultery. Adultery is a mortal sin. The sin of adultery deprives the person of the virtue of charity. But that same person, in the state of grace, may still possess the virtues, plural, of faith and hope. May still believe and may still trust in God. So, a person who commits a mortal sin always loses the supernatural virtue of charity. How is the virtue of hope lost? By the sin of despair. And how is the virtue of faith lost? By even doubting or denying a revealed truth of our faith. Now, of course, once a person lost the virtue of faith, then there can be no more hope or charity left. And that is why, as I keep saying, Michigan is a testing ground for suicide and euthanasia to legalize. When people lose the faith, they lose hope. What is there worth living for? They don't believe there was a life after bodily death. So a person who's lost faith always, of course, has also lost the virtues of hope and charity. So too, a person who lost the virtue of faith and hope, or better, may have kept virtue of hope, but lost the virtue of hope. Kept the virtue of faith, lost hope, charity is lost. So every mortal sin deprives a person of the virtue of charity. But only the sins of infidelity or unbelief deprive a person of the virtue of faith, and the sin of despair deprives a person of the supernatural virtue of hope. And let me tell you, people in mortal sin, there's no casual, oh my friends, no casual statement this. A person in mortal sin no longer has the supernatural virtue of charity. In other words, the love of God above all things, including oneself, and the love of others out of love for God. People in mortal sin are cruel. Do you hear me? People in mortal sin are cruel. They're destructive. And so when we talk about mortal sin depriving a person of the virtue of charity, and let me tell you, when a person has to live with someone who is in mortal sin, the cruelty is beyond description. When can I get the prayers in the office for new feast days in place on the calendar since my breviary was printed? Well, you can get them in Rome. And so on Saturday prayers, we usually have two calls to Rome every week. I make one on Tuesdays. People in Washington make one on Saturday. So they can be obtained in Rome. And of course, in Rome, they have them in Latin. I presume the person would not want the Latin. Not sure where you can get them, get the English. Our Children's Catholic School is having a prayer service with a pantomime of the giving tree in front of the sanctuary instead of a mass of thanksgiving. Should we keep them home? Well, I know I'm being taped. As the mother say of this question, you make the decision. But I may be mistaken, I hope I am, but I think this pantomime of the giving tree, I'd have to know what the words or the actions are, but as you know now, they are deifying the forces of nature. Can the poor soul sin in purgatory? No. About the sins of souls in limbo? No. Can behold that those damned in hell have lost their free wills since they cannot choose to do good? No, they have not lost their free wills. There's such a thing as choosing evil. A person in mortal sin is cruel and destructive. Does that mean self-destructive as well? Maybe, yes. In fact, over the years, having finished my own graduate studies in psychology, I tell people, I've been saying this and in writing it, if our faith, our supernatural faith, are restored to our world, the psychiatric profession would go out of business, and psychologists would be out of work. 5 months, and then goes home again, never to return. Can this be reasoned for an moment? No. Nothing which a person does after marriage is reason for the annulment. Is whether the marriage was valid in the first place. How can we use the Eucharist to evangelize secular people, since Scripture tells us that the mysteries of faith are hidden to unbelievers? Well, they're hidden from not being able to see them as we do. Tell them about the Eucharist. The Eucharist is very attractive for those also who don't have the faith. Have you written anything, any books, on practical questions and answers? Megan, our faith, have I written any books or questions? Yes, I've written quite a few books. Hundreds of articles. So, thanks for the question. Will you explain about indulgences? Father says one indulgence a day, but there are some prayers where the end in a prayer is written 3 years. And that will have to be explained. Let's save that for the next time. Each time our handicapped daughter is in a medical crisis and hospitalized, we always asked to what reasons should be kept alive and treated. Of course, I tell them to do for her as he would for me. Well, it is a very great gift for parents to have a child who is handicapped. In other words, the practice of the love and sacrifice of parents in caring for a handicapped child. Isn't that a purpose? That's why God puts poor people in the world. That's why he puts handicapped people in the world, so others can practice charity. And don't you dare tell me that's not reason enough. That's the highest reason. And it's over time. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.